Imagine actually loving everything you have in your closet. I'm getting a little closer to that experience the more I get from Honeylove. I've learned I can really rely on the comfort, fit, quality, and look of Honeylove no matter what. And it seems like they think of everything we might want but didn't know existed. The Legging 2.0, for example, has it all. Comfort, function, and style. Smooth, soft fabric, hidden shaping panels that make me feel extra supported and confident, sheer-proof fabric so I have no worries, side pockets for the convenience I need, a super cute look, and more. And I love that I can wear them out and about, around the house, or to work out. And Honeylove addresses all of the typical complaints about bras and shapewear, too. All of Honeylove's products make everything I wear feel better. So yes, Honeylove has you covered for the everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more. Go check it out. Treat yourself to the best bras, shapewear, leggings, and more on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/newsworthy. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it. Today is Saturday, April 27th. The countdown has started for the owner of one of the most popular social media apps in America to sell its stake or else be banned in the U.S. Of course, we're talking about TikTok. As we reported this week, a newly passed law forces TikTok's China-based parent company, ByteDance, to sell the app within 9 months or face a ban. But with more than 170 million users in the U.S., is it even possible to get rid of TikTok? And at an estimated value of tens of billions of dollars, who's even capable of buying the app in the first place? To help explain, I'm joined today by a journalist who has been following this TikTok saga closely. McKenna Kelly is a senior writer at Wired, where she covers the intersection of politics, power, and technology. She also writes the Wired Politics Lab newsletter and is a frequent guest on the Wired Politics Lab podcast. We'll get into the reasons why lawmakers have had TikTok in their crosshairs for years, and the likely reason this bill was the successful one. Plus, of course, what might happen next. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. McKenna Kelly, thank you so much for joining us here on the Newsworthy.
Of course, I'm glad to be here.
So this has been called a TikTok ban, but you know, really, before we get to it actually being a ban, TikTok's Chinese parent company, ByteDance, could sell its stake within 9 months, and then TikTok could stay, right? So explain what would have to happen before an actual ban goes into effect.
Sure. Like you said, after this was passed and Biden signed it on Wednesday, it provides TikTok and its parent company, ByteDance, about 9 months to find some kind of new owner who isn't based in some foreign adversarial nation. So I think likely it would be like an American owner, and then they would transfer, you know, all of those assets over to that American owner.
So maybe somebody like, I mean, somebody who has to have a lot of money, so Microsoft or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question right now. I doubt that we will see a TikTok by Meta anytime soon. A lot of these giant tech firms have been under antitrust scrutiny for a very long time. And I think trying to gobble up TikTok would set off a lot of alarm bells at the Justice Department and the FTC. And I mean, you mentioned Microsoft, and Microsoft has already kind of tipped its hat into this, saying that it would be interested maybe to buy it. And really, Microsoft, when I look at Microsoft, its only real competitor to TikTok is LinkedIn. And we all know that that's probably, it's probably a joke to say that it's a competitor. So it might have more of a chance than like Meta or some other, you know, big social media company like Google and YouTube.
And yet, what is ByteDance saying specifically about a possible sale? And do you think there's really any chance that that's the route ByteDance is going to go down?
There's a couple different ways that this could go down. First, miraculously, some American company buys TikTok and its algorithm. Second, if a divestment were to happen, ByteDance would be okay with selling TikTok, but would still withhold that very powerful algorithm that they own. And so maybe some company would just get like the TikTok branding and maybe the basic bones and structure of it, but not the thing that really makes it special. And then, of course, if that doesn't happen, the third thing is that it could be banned. And that's all if within the next couple months, TikTok doesn't win a court challenge, which it's already threatening as of Wednesday.
And that is my next question. But I first want to go back briefly about if they were to sell TikTok, but not the algorithm, are you thinking then they would just create a new version of TikTok essentially with their own algorithm and just call it something different?
Yeah, I mean, if that were to happen and the algorithm isn't part of the transaction, I feel like you could only give TikTok to a Microsoft or some other giant tech company, like you said, that could afford it, but also has the workforce and the expertise to build up a social media company from scratch.
Okay, so you mentioned the legal challenge, and I want to talk about the actual arguments for and against this in a little bit. But first, do you think those legal challenges would potentially delay a potential ban anyway? So we're really not looking at 9 months. We're looking at probably much longer.
I always want to bring up that TikTok has already faced a ban case in the United States. Last year, Montana passed a ban against TikTok saying that, you know, people within Montana's state boundaries could not use the app. And that case isn't entirely solved yet. But in December, a federal judge heard some arguments from both sides and basically said that the plaintiffs, Montana, was unable to give enough evidence that there is some kind of urgent threat that needs to be addressed, and also that these First Amendment arguments were likely to hold up. And so that judge ordered an immediate injunction, and that ban was supposed to go into effect at the beginning of this year, and it never happened because of it. So I'm not sure how much like state precedent will really influence whatever happens with this federal law. But if a new judge has the same kind of thinking, it's very clear that, you know, these First Amendment arguments might stack up.
Okay, so let's assume that ByteDance does not win this and a ban does need to go into effect. I mean, there's 170 million users of this app in the US alone. So what would a ban actually look like for all of those people?
What this would look like would be everyone scrambling to find out, you know, some other place to create and post content. And so TikTok, I mean, even if it were to be acquired, it's still going to have to be integrated into some other app or some kind of company.
But there's no way, I mean, even if there was a ban on TikTok, let's say it's not acquired and it just needs to shut down and it needs to be banned, there's no way they can just take it off people's phones, right? I mean, this would just be no new downloads.
That's the problem. So this was raised with the Montana case as well. It's like, are we going to geofence the entire state? What does that look like? Are we just going to have conversations with the Apple App Store, the Google Play Store, and refuse new downloads, have it taken off those platforms? Or do we work with the telecom carriers to maybe implement a ban right there in the infrastructure that we use to even use the internet? And I think those are the same conversations we're going to be having over the next, you know, so many months as this plays out.
Yeah, so the enforcement of it is not clear at this point, it sounds like, and it was not included in the bill.
No, I think if it does look like a ban is going to take place, we're going to see a lot of people scrambling. And I think it might. The FCC voted on net neutrality on Thursday to re-implement it. And the reason why I bring this up is because these kind of rules give the FCC a bit more power to regulate broadband. And similarly, the FCC has rules over foreign broadcasters. And I think that kind of same regulatory regime with additional broadband regulatory power could give the FCC maybe a bit stronger of a hand here to implement, you know, a similar TikTok ban.
And let's talk about that a little bit, because it is interesting to compare, you know, ownership of TikTok, which is now a major media platform that influences Americans, to, you know, a CBS or an NBC. And there are U.S. laws prohibiting foreigners to own more than, what, 20% of a broadcast media organization. But there are no laws yet for what is now probably even, you know, just as big of media platforms, which are social media apps.
Basically, like, we get back to Section 230 and regulating speech online. Is TikTok a publisher or is it a platform? And it's still not technically a publisher like these broadcasters would be classified as. And so it does have a bit more protection in these ways than like contemporary broadcasters do.
And what's also interesting is some of these politicians who are for a potential ban or a sale are also using TikTok. I mean, even President Biden's campaign now is using TikTok, even as President Biden himself supports this sale/ban.
Yeah, almost an hour after the Senate passed the bill Tuesday night, the Team Biden campaign was posting on TikTok some little story with him meeting with labor groups as if it didn't happen. And if you open the video, the entire comment section is saying, "Keep TikTok, Joey. You just gave Trump a win."
And speaking of Trump, I mean, he was the first one to really push for a sale slash ban on TikTok. And now he's changed his mind, right?
I think like a week ago or so, he put out a Truth Social post saying that he supported TikTok. He didn't want to see it removed. Of course, like he's gotten a lot of support from Jeffrey Yass, who is a big investor who's invested in TikTok before. And maybe that caused him to change his tune on it. But he's also said that by removing TikTok, you're just emboldening Facebook. And of course, he has a bit of a gripe with Facebook himself.
Lawmakers have been threatening to ban TikTok for years. So why do you think this time was different?
The New York Times came out with a really great report this week outlining that this bill has actually been in the works with a small group of lawmakers for like a year. And they were working closely with intelligence folks and people in the Biden administration to craft something that would please everyone. So I think that's part of it. The second part is probably the way that it was passed. The House, of course, attached the TikTok ban to this massive $95 billion foreign aid bill. And that was really a big priority of the Biden administration to get done. It was a big priority of a lot of Democrats and some Republicans to get that done. And I think that's part of the reason why that it passed was because they couldn't say no to all of that aid that, you know, is needed so imminently right now.
So why is TikTok so concerning to lawmakers and the intelligence community? Well, some critics say there's not enough evidence to be worried. Those arguments and more coming up. But first, a break for our sponsors. You all know now that I've been wearing Skims for a while, and I have been loving everything I got from there. So, of course, I went back for more. This time, I found the best-fitting tees. From cropped silhouettes to long-sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. And each style can be worn in so many different ways. I reach for my cotton jersey t-shirt almost every day now because, one, the fit is perfect. Two, the fabric is really smooth, soft, and comfortable. And three, it's versatile. It looks great whether I'm dressing it way down with joggers and sneakers or throwing on a blazer, jewelry, and heels with my favorite jeans for a fancy girl's night out or even wearing it with dress pants or a skirt for a work conference. The options are endless. Skims t-shirts are truly wardrobe staples for me now. So go shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. This episode is also brought to you by Trade Coffee. Trade Coffee believes anyone can make great coffee at home. All you need is access to the best beans, roasted to order and curated for your personal taste, which is exactly what they provide. Thanks to their in-house team of coffee experts, 50-plus small-batch specialty coffee partners, and more than 450 rotating roasts. Not only are you going to love this, but also it's not too early to start thinking of the perfect gift for mom, dad, graduates, or your best friend getting married this season. Listen, you cannot go wrong with a gift when you're giving them better coffee delivered conveniently to their door. Because I've been loving the coffee I've been drinking from Trade Coffee, but I also love the excited feeling I'm getting every time a new package arrives. Even though it's curated to my preferences, there's still this element of surprise and fun when it comes. So, do you love coffee as much as I do? If so, you need to try Trade today. And for a limited time, you can enjoy a free bag and up to $15 off select plans when you visit my link, drinktrade.com/newsworthy. That's drinktrade.com/newsworthy for a free bag of coffee and up to $15 off select plans. drinktrade.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to our conversation. Okay, so now let's talk about a little bit more the arguments for and against this forced sale or ban. You know, on one hand, national security leaders like the FBI director and the director of the National Security Agency have all described TikTok as a potential security risk. So review for us why lawmakers and the intelligence community are concerned about TikTok.
The problem that they've highlighted is the ability for the Chinese government to access American user data. And there's been a couple of instances that have been reported with TikTok workers spying on American journalists. But this big, you know, this big surveillance threat that these lawmakers have been threatening, we haven't received any real evidence of that existing.
Do you think there's anything classified? I mean, I think there was one hearing where it was one of the lawmakers said, everybody needs to hear this.
The problem is that we really, really don't know. And I think it would be incumbent on the administration and Congress to at least put out something to sway the American people, because right now folks are a little bit outraged, especially during, you know, such a contentious election year.
Right. But overall, the FBI has said that China spies on America. Hackers have even targeted America's infrastructure to be able to cause harm to the U.S. in the event of a conflict between the two countries. And yet they have control over this popular app in the U.S. So how much do you think this is about data privacy, and how much is it because of the potential influence this foreign adversary could have on America and Americans?
In 2016, Congress, lawmakers, the government were really caught on their back foot with foreign influence. We saw how Russia was involved in spreading disinformation and misinformation in our elections, and we really caught it maybe a bit too late. And so I think the fear is that something like 2016 would happen again, but with China and on TikTok.
Okay, so that's kind of the concern, and I know you've mentioned already, but on that flip side, TikTok is essentially saying, this is censorship, this is infringing on people's First Amendment right to free speech. Talk a little bit more about TikTok's response and this other side, this other argument of why this shouldn't be happening.
TikTok's biggest argument is that this is violating free speech rights in the United States. But I think the biggest case to be made would be if a group of TikTok creators, for instance, were to sue and say that banning this app would infringe on their free speech rights. I think those creators themselves would have a much bigger and more, maybe more substantial argument than the company itself, because this is the direct effect that would happen in case of a ban.
Did you really think it was going to come to this?
You know, TikTok was entering into conversations with the government to create some kind of sale, some kind of way for them to compromise and work together. And it seems like those conversations completely ran their course. Nothing came of it.
Well, that's a good point that I forgot to ask about. I mean, Oracle came in to help protect the data. Whatever happened with that?
It still has the data. And honestly, I think I saw a report a couple of days ago that Oracle was starting to freak out and talk to lawmakers about if this app was banned, it could hurt their business because now they have so many, you know, data centers to basically keep Americans' data safe.
And do you think it's working as the U.S. had hoped?
Obviously not, because we're here.
because this happened anyway.
Yeah, this happened anyway. Yeah. Of course, you know, maybe in the end, Oracle buys the whole thing. Who knows? But, you know, over the next couple of days, I think once we see that lawsuit hit, once we start getting more reactions, the administration is more pressed on this ban, maybe things will start to shake out and paint a clearer picture.
Final thought or takeaway for our audience?
I think people who use TikTok should know that if this ban were to take place, if TikTok were to sell, or any of these scenarios play out, the app is going to look different. It's going to look very, very different by next year.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today. And thanks to our guest. Be sure to read more of senior writer McKenna Kelly's work on Wired.com. We'll link to her full reports about the possible TikTok ban and other political and tech stories that could affect you in today's episode notes on our website. Of course, The Newsworthy will continue to cover any significant developments related to this TikTok saga, along with other news you need to know every weekday in just about 10 minutes. So we'll be back on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend.